Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Engineering Our Future podcast. I'm Nikolai, joined here again with Luis. How's it going?
Good. I'm doing great. I'm very excited about this topic. It's something that obviously as remote employees is a little harder to figure out, but I think it's also more important than ever to discuss it and to get a good discussion on it. And I think some advice that we have is going to be really important for a lot of people that are both working remote and in person. I think that's going to make work a lot easier, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. No, So the topic we're covering today is communication styles. And yeah, this is a big one. You know, we probably could have multiple episodes just kind of breaking down each one. But I think we want to do more of a high level overview of some of the different styles that we observe in the workplace, some things to be mindful about when you're working, how maybe to start identifying other people, you know, and their kind of style. So yeah, we'll cover all of that. And if we need to go deeper in another episode, we definitely can. But yeah. I really do enjoy this topic. I know in my program for early career people, we definitely spend a month on communication style. And it's one of my favorite topics because it's so huge. Well, one, but then when people finally commit and to take kind of a proactive approach of learning the different styles, finding their own style, figuring out the style of other people, and then actually applying that in the way that they talk to those people, I see that is a huge return on that investment, and their career really starts to improve. So this is a big deal. And so if you have not paid attention so much to communication or really like given too much effort to go deeply into this topic, I hope that this is kind of just the start of your journey if you're listening. And you could always reach out to us if you have any questions. But I guess just right off the bat, I would love to kind of hear your thought on, you know, what's one style when you think of the workplace, like what's one thing that you almost always observe in your workplace? What kind of style have you seen?
I mean, I think one is just clear. It's just very technical. I mean, when you're talking about a project, you are hopefully to the point. If you have ever written a technical report, you're somewhat telling a story. And I think that's something that I heard, I think it was a previous company. It may have been the one I'm on right now. But when you have a set of drawings, you're basically telling the client or the contractor or whoever you're delivering the design, the story, how to build the building or the bridge or how to conduct the work. So in a sense, it is a story, but you have to use a very technical and direct communication style in that sense. You're not just telling a novel, which is going to be very different than a technical design. But I think that's probably one of the biggest one, if not the biggest one, that we see at a workplace.
Yeah, no, definitely strong technical. You normally have a direct personality or a direct style. Maybe it's a driver kind of style. I've seen that. You have the relational person, the one who wants to be friends with everybody, and you know they come over and they talk to you about their dog and their cat and their uncle and their aunt and their grandpa's cousin, and you hear the whole thing, right? Like that, there's that person, and then you kind of just have the person who really is kind of outside the box thinker type of person. You know, this person, there is no box, I guess, and so they just have a very unique approach to things. So yeah, there are tons of assessments out there. If you've never done an assessment, I definitely encourage you to do that. One assessment that I have found helpful is DISC, D-I-S-C. It's a very popular one. If you work at a large company, it's actually pretty, your company might have already actually provided that tool to you. Lots of companies use that particular one. But there's a whole bunch of other styles out there. And the majority of them kind of all boil down to four different styles, you know, so they all have a little bit of a different take on it. Maybe they have a little bit of a different definition to it, but you know, they all kind of boil down to four different styles. Real quick story is I went to this conference. It was called the Emerging Leaders Alliance. It was an awesome conference, and it was really I felt really privileged to be able to be invited to attend that one. But as part of that conference, I had to take a style assessment before I left or before I went there. And I had to have at least five people take the assessment with me in mind. You know, they're basically rating me and scoring for me. So I did that, and everybody else did that. There's maybe a couple hundred people there. And then they brought us all into a room, like this huge, huge conference room, and had tape on the ground, and everything was split up into four quadrants. And they told you what your personal score was. And so they moved you to that part of the room. And so then they said, okay, based on your results, you know, you are a direct person, or you are an analytical person, or you are whatever the other, you know, styles were. And you got to see that. And then you got to see, okay, we are a bunch of engineers. Now, these engineers were split up in, you know, civil engineering, mechanical engineering, you know, a bunch of different types of engineers. And so it was really interesting to kind of see the broad spreading, you know, of where everybody sat. Now, a big chunk of them did fall into the analytical side. It doesn't surprise me too much, being in a group of engineers. And then not so many of them fell into kind of that relational quadrant, you know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the quadrant. And I guess maybe we might say this again too. There's nothing wrong with any of these. I think you embrace your style, you know, the natural style you have. But so then they said, okay, now based on the results of everybody you asked to take it, this is how they see you. And, you know, I actually pretty much stayed. I think I moved over like 1 foot in the entire room. So I felt pretty good that what I felt I was communicating, or how I felt I was communicating, was being perceived by others. And then there was this one lady in the room. She was probably, you know, a pretty new project manager type of person, or a new supervisor type of person. And she thought she was in the relational category, and friendly and cooperative and everything. And all of her direct reports rated her in the, like, direct, you know, shaking your finger at somebody category. And she was just crushed because she didn't realize that she was coming off that way, you know. Now, maybe she was or she wasn't, I don't know, but that was the results that they, you know, scored her in. But I thought that was a really good lesson, because it's about how we're perceived too. You know, I may think that I'm communicating in one style and I'm being perceived in another. I may think, you know, heck, I'm been married for, you know, 13 years, and my wife, well, I'll be talking to her sometimes and she'll be like, why are you so angry? And I'm like, I'm not, I'm just stating facts, or I'm just saying how I feel. And I'm like, I'm actually really happy, but maybe my face isn't showing it, type of thing, right? So it's how it's perceived. So I'm sure you have a big smile. I'm sure you have similar.
I'm just thinking back to, I don't know if you ever did, I think we did that, the same, it's probably the same assessment with ASCE. So if you see these blocks here, they're kind of all out of place because my children like to play with them. But each of those colors are one of the communication styles. So you get ranked on, and it's not like you have one communication style. You have kind of the main communication style, and then you have some of the other ones. I can't remember what mine were, but I think the blue may have been analytical. The yellow may have been like emotional. Green may have been, what was the other one? I don't remember. And then the red one was like the direct. So I think it's kind of the order. So they give you the blog just kind of to remind yourself of that. And I think that's a cool just kind of visual on that communication style. But you have kind of your main communication style. And I think we did the same exercise where you kind of rank yourself, like, where do you think you are? I was in a big room of engineers. Most of us thought were analytical, and a big portion of us were, but there were some that are in the emotional side, some that were in the direct side. I'm blanking on the fourth one.
I kind of blank on that fourth one too, because I'm not even close to it.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I wish I had it in front of me right now. But so we split in the quadrants, and then I think the funny thing is some people were surprised they were that communication style. But when they get into that quadrant and start talking with other people, their experiences, they're like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm actually perfect in this quadrant. And I think it's a big eye-opener to people to realize that they may think they're analytical, they may think they are all these things, but we also have a little bit of these other communication styles in us that we can tap into when we need to. Like speaking to you here in a podcast, casual is going to be a way different communication style, maybe not as direct as if I were talking to someone for work or a client or a friend. It's going to be very different communication style. So we need to understand kind of what is our main communication style, but also understand kind of the ones below that and how we can tap into those to communicate better with other people. Because if you're communicating the same way with everyone, it's gonna be a challenge in most situations.
Yeah, expressive is that
expressive
lower right quadrant that we're missing. Amiable, you know, relational. That's kind of what I mentioned for that lower left quadrant if you're looking at the ASCE one. So yeah, I mean, there's tons of tools out there and assessments out there to jump into. So I definitely would encourage all of our listeners to just try one, you know, maybe do two max, you know, don't do like 50 because now you're going to be information overload. But yeah, take a look at it. Then I wouldn't really judge it. Excuse me. I wouldn't judge it like immediately. Let it sit for a little bit and just kind of, you know, because a lot of people take these assessments and then they think, ah, that's not even close to me, you know, right off the bat. But I think if they were to just pause for a second, have a deep, honest look into how they operate, I think they would agree with a lot of these. They're really good. I mean, for the most part, I've seen most of them be pretty accurate. But yeah, so I had those blocks too at one point. I'm sure they're in a box somewhere after we moved earlier this year. But okay, so if you don't do an assessment, what are some things to be on the lookout for? And one way I've heard this communicated is you have people who ask for things and then you have people who tell you for things. So obviously, if you are only telling people, you may be more like direct, you know, type of person. Then you have the people who are very emotional, like they wear their heart on their sleeve. You know, if they're talking to you, you know exactly how they feel. And then you have people in the more controlled category where they can control their emotions. I think I probably fall in that one because I normally have to tell people when I'm happy or when I'm laughing even, you know, like I'm laughing on the inside. I don't know. I sometimes have to do that. But yeah, you may fall into one of those two sides. Which along that kind of axis, what do you fall on?
I'm not sure. As you were saying that, I also think that it's also how we feel when we have this communication. Like if you feel like you're just being, again, told to do something, or do you feel like you are more connected to the person? I think that's a sign that it's more in the friendly or amiable quadrant. So I think that's a good indicator. And it's hard to like really feel the right way when you're talking. The person may be just be being direct and technical, and you may feel like they're friendly and they're explaining everything to you and they're being so. It's hard, but I agree that the people that just kind of tell you plainly how to do it, you can tell it's more maybe that technical and direct side. And the way you ask and the way you do that, it's important to, and especially depending on who you're talking to. I think that's kind of, I keep going back to that, but I think the way I talk to the president of a company is going to be way different than the way I talk to my coworker that is sitting across the desk from me when I was at the office. So,
Okay. That's interesting. I think that's very interesting. I do agree with you. we all don't just only fit into one category. Even if somebody is off the charts analytical, they still can tap into some sort of relational or expressive type of personality style or communication style. But, you know, it's just what's in your natural state, you know. One thing I've heard when you're trying to observe somebody, so like you're trying to see where maybe your boss, your supervisor, you're trying to kind of guess what their personality style or communication style is. You actually want to observe them in some sort of minor stressful situation. Because, you know, if it's just everything is going good and, you know, there's absolutely no stress, they're so relaxed, they can kind of tap into any, you know, category they want at that point. If it's overly stressful, now they're just reacting and just, you know, it may not even be their natural thing. They're just doing whatever fit at the time. But if it's just a minor stress involved, they will kind of jump right into their natural state, their natural abilities to figure out that issue and communicate through it. And so that's what I have heard when you're observing people. If it's just a minor kind of stress opportunity, that's a great opportunity to kind of observe it and see what their style is. It's more natural in that point.
How do you know if they're in that state though?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, like, we have deadlines, you know, and normally a few days before the deadline is where it's crazy stressful, but maybe, you know, a week or two before that deadline is not so stressful. So, you know, that might be an opportunity. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, actually, and I wasn't even planning to bring this up, but it is reminding me, you know, I think a lot of us need to do better. And I'm kind of talking to myself here. We need to do better at giving people a little more grace when they are speaking. You know, I am not saying that if somebody's rude to you, you need to take it. I'm not saying, you know, that there's any place in the workplace to be mean to somebody else. But there are times where I'm talking to somebody and it's just, they're just like so forceful, you know, or they're kind of, you know, being short with their responses, and it's clear like something is wrong, right? And it can be easy for you to then just match that talk back, right? And, you know, like, well, screw you. And then you kind of just escalate it and it goes, keeps going up. But I've been really, really working on just giving a little more grace and thinking, you know what? Maybe something's not going so well that I'm not aware of, because obviously I'm not that person. I have no idea what they're going through right now. Or maybe they had just got some bad news, you know. I was at a happy hour last night and somebody just rushed out and her house flooded. Like something, they had like 75 gallons of water laying on their floor and their hardwood floor was, you know, all now rippled. That's pretty stressful, you know. If she was curt, or she wasn't, but if she was, you know, I could have easily just dismissed or not thought about something bad had happened, but something bad had just happened. So if she had been maybe a little more rude on her way out, she was very pleasant, by the way, in that stressful situation. But I should have given that, you know, that grace. So just throwing that out there. I think that's really, really important. It's not necessarily just about the styles, but more just a better place to work type of topic.
Yeah, and just I want to add something there quick too, because as we have these sometimes people really struggle with communicating in general. Like even if they're a great person, maybe they get in front of a group of people at the company and they need to talk when you're in a meeting, and it takes them a little time to kind of get first comfortable talking, but second, kind of get their ideas and their thoughts in line. And I think a lot of people jump too fast to maybe interrupt or to try to figure out what's going on. So I think the best communication style too is just listening carefully and make sure you're supporting the other person in what they're trying to say in the way that they're trying to say it, especially if maybe they're a new employee and they're just a little shy because they're just trying to figure out how everything works and they don't know anyone yet. I think listening and making sure we let people develop their thoughts, I think it's super important.
Yeah, I mean, that could be an entire active listening topic that we cover in another episode as well. Okay, so I think that's a really, really good point. So it kind of leads us to then, all right, so maybe I did an assessment for ourselves. Maybe we're just trying to kind of identify our category, where we fall. Then we spend some time just kind of observing some people in a mildly stressful situation. You know, we look at, okay, are they very emotional or not emotional at all? We're looking at if they're being directing or telling you what to do versus asking you to do. And kind of just those two things alone can help you kind of understand a little bit or have some idea. So now you've identified the working styles or the communication styles of your employees and your team members. What do you do with it? You know, and I think for me, what I have found the most helpful in my career is trying to match their style when I'm talking to them. So if I'm a relational person and my supervisor is a direct person, you know, they want bullet points. They just want to know the answer and then go finish your work, you know? So if I go to them and I start talking about my puppy and my uncle and my grandpa and my brother's girlfriend's cousin, you know, like that's really not what they want, you know? And hopefully you have a nice enough supervisor. If they are direct, they'll still give you that time. And just because they're just a nice human being, but inside they're dying, you know? So be mindful. I'm going to go and try to be more direct with that person. Give them what they need, show, you know, email them short emails, you know, get very clear to the point. If I, let's say I'm analytical and I want to explain every single reason how we got this answer, the direct person doesn't want to know all of those things. They just want to know the answer. But me as an analytical, maybe I want them to know how we got it. So put the answer up top on your email. And that's probably all they're going to read. And then at the end, you could probably put why you wanted to do that, you know, if that was your style. But I'm trying to do my best to match their communication style when I'm talking to them. And then I've heard this term before. I kind of adopted it myself. So you have the golden rule, treat others how you want to be treated or something like that. When I think of the platinum rule, communicate with others the way that they want to be communicated to. And I have found that that one tip has really helped me in my career. Any thoughts on meeting somebody where they, how they like to be communicated to?
Yeah. And again, kind of tapping back into, we have different communication styles. So identifying what kind of meeting you're in. Are you in a meeting where you need to, hey, we need to get in this, we need to solve this problem. Everyone is kind of on a mission to solve this. So it's going to be very direct, very maybe technical on the sides. And there's a little bit of just, hey, we need to focus on this. Or is the meeting a staff meeting, or is it more of a check-in meeting? Like, how do you change the way you approach those meetings is going to affect the way you communicate within the meeting too. I'm just thinking of different meetings that I have throughout the week, just kind of checking meetings. There's some of that very short and to the point. There is meetings that are maybe with some other people kind of around my age and we're doing some admin work. Maybe they're not as direct. Maybe we have a little more time to chat about it and maybe a little more expressive or amiable and not as technical. So I think as you get into these different type of meetings, if you always come with the mindset of, I am an analytical person, I'm going to come here, I'm going to talk, and I'm going to spew all the technical knowledge that I know, but the meeting has nothing related to anything technical, you're going to probably find some pushback and maybe not, it's not the best communication style for that specific meeting or the specific people you're talking to. So I think realizing that as well, as you come into meetings, as you come through different people in those meetings, is depending on who you're talking to, you should adjust a little bit. It may be hard at the beginning. It may be challenging if you have never thought about what communication style you are. But as you get more comfortable, as you maybe take the test and as you understand what's your top one and kind of going down the list, you're going to be able to tap into those and have a lot better communication for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I've never really thought of applying that in a different type of meeting. So that's really great, because you're right. There are some meetings, it's quick fire. Let's get in and out in 15 minutes so we can go get back to our work. That's a really good note. I'll have to add that to my future conversations.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. I think that also then leads me to kind of this mindfulness in your communication. We kind of already talked about meeting other people where they want to be met, talking to other people the way that they want to be talked to. Now, you may commit to doing that for the rest of your career, and you will find that most people just don't. Like, they don't care. They're going to keep talking to you the way that they want to talk to you, not the way that you want to be talked to. But again, I promise you, if you make that commitment yourself, it's going to help you in your career. You're going to connect with so many more people that way, which, when we talk about communication, connection truly is probably that best. Like, that's when you know you've communicated well, is if you get that connection. So we talked about, meeting those people where they are, but I think just being mindful in general of your communication style. If I'm in a meeting or I'm leading a meeting and I'm being too direct at one point, being mindful of that, watching their faces. I think this kind of goes into more of a emotional intelligence type of conversation as well, where you're needing to be observant and aware of how they are reacting to what you say. We all have that person who is a chatter, a chatterbox, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's times and places for every one of these styles. There's pros and cons for every one of these styles. When I first took my assessment, I kind of wished I was in a different style. And, I felt like for years I had always just been trying to be that other style. But once I started embracing it, it just was so much more natural. I found so much more joy and fulfillment in what I was doing and how I was communicating with people. And sure, I feel like the cons of, maybe a little bit more of the analytical side of things is not as good as the pros of the other ones that I still kind of see. But I'm telling you, once I leaned into it and kind of just said, hey, this is what I've been given in life, like this is what I'm naturally good at, it really did make a difference. But again, so being mindful, and so if you're that chatterbox and you love to just chat with people and you sit at their desk or stand at their desk, and if you're just talking to them about your weekend, that's fine. I hope that you have a great conversation, but if you see them keep glancing back at their computer or they keep looking at their watch, and you're talking so much that you're not even being mindful of that. You can't even see that they're not paying attention to you, basically. Maybe be a little bit more mindful and end those conversations sooner than later. For their sake, because they're probably trying to get back to work, but for your sake too. Like, why would you want to talk to somebody who doesn't have the time to talk to you right then? Now, if you see them in the kitchen later and or the snack room later and they want to talk then, great. Maybe there's a time and place for it. But, just be mindful of that. I wanted to make sure I brought that up.
I think that's a great point. I think that's a great way to kind of summarize everything. I think being mindful of where you are in the conversation, being mindful who you're talking to, being mindful of what type of meeting you're in, being mindful of maybe other people's communication style as well, and how you can tap into maybe not your primary communication style, but maybe your secondary or tertiary communication style, and make the conversation a little more pleasant, a little more... I don't want to say direct because that's one of the communication styles, but a little more approachable. I think that's a great way to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you're right. That's all good. Thanks for that summary. Is there any other communication things that we didn't cover that you were thinking?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we can translate a lot of these to the writing part of it. I think we're kind of mainly talking about the verbal communication style when we're in meetings, when we're talking to people, when we're maybe giving presentations and such. But the same goes to writing. And I think it's even harder to get a sense of what the other person is trying to say or feeling when they are saying it, when you're just reading words and you're kind of imagining what they're trying to say, which is obviously not the greatest thing to do sometimes. But I think that could be like a whole new topic and into that as well. But I think if you think of the verbal communication styles and apply them somewhat to the writing communication styles, I think there's going to be a lot of correlation that people can use when they're trying to write an email to their supervisor, or they're trying to write an email to a prospect for a new job, or a simple LinkedIn post. It's going to be a lot different in all the situations. So keep that in mind.
I do actually have a comment on that, because that is a really great topic to have. So not only do we have our communication styles, but we also have our preferences. You know, I know a lot of people who hate to call on the phone. They only want to text, or they only want to use your chat function and at work. Some people only want to do emails, you know, and I honestly, that's probably me. You know, I like to send out an email. It's kind of like my version of a text, and that person can read it when they have time to read it, you know, but when I need to get stuff, email is not the way to go. And if I'm trying to get my employees to get some stuff, get some data, get some answers, like, oh, I emailed them a few days ago. And it like makes me cringe, because I'm thinking, we don't have time to go for emails, pick up the phone, you know. Then you have people, and I was actually communicating with this person for the last few months, and it just never really was going well. You know, he's very direct and very short, and sometimes just doesn't communicate well. Just to me, he doesn't communicate very well, you know, is opposite of my style. And then in a meeting, he finally just said, you know what, just text me. I prefer text messages. You know, he doesn't like to call the phone. He doesn't like emails. He just wants text. Anytime I talk to him in Microsoft Teams, oh my gosh, it's great. Like it's so funny. I watch him communicate in that program, and I'm thinking, oh man, you do prefer Teams for the chat. So, you know, everybody has their own preferences. There's a time and place for everything. My dad, you know, I used to work with my dad, you know, he picks up the phone for everything, you know, so emailing him is not his style. He maybe not ever see that email. He wants to pick up the phone. So again, find out that preference and apply that as well. I think that's a really good tip.
Yeah. And I think again, we can go on the writing styles as well, but, I think we'll probably just leave it at that. Do you want to just have any final thoughts on what communication style, working communication style? I think we should make that clarification as well. We're talking about kind of at the workplace. We're talking about with peers, with supervisors, with companies. I think personal communication styles could be a little different, and we can apply a lot of the same principles, but I think we're talking about that aspect of the communication styles.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I've said this at least two other times. There's no perfect style, you know. I hope if you've never really leaned into it or started your journey of figuring out what style you are, just be open. And, you know, whatever you start to see and what you do naturally, there are plenty of gifts that come with that style. There are plenty of cons too, just like everybody else, you know, but lean into those gifts, strengthen it, find ways to practice it, and then start to observe others and start practicing their styles. And, you know, like you said before too, you don't just have one, you have a dominant style, but you have the ability to tap into those others. So I think I would just really want to make sure that nobody leaves here thinking that, oh man, I'm this style and I don't want to be, you know. There are plenty of pros with your particular style, and I hope you do lean into it and you know, start using it at work.
Yeah, absolutely. I this conversation is always fun. I've read a few books on just kind of communication and things as I was starting the podcast. I think my communication in general, like how I was addressing people, how I was communicating. You can listen back, please don't, but listen back to episodes at the beginning of this, and it's painful to listen how maybe poorly I was communicating, but I think the practice and doing it frequently helps a lot. I think learning all of these how what communication style you are, what's the best way to communicate with people, I think makes a big difference. So I'm glad we had this conversation. And yeah, let's continue having these communications, because there's a lot of information that people don't look for it, and it's hard to find sometimes. So I really appreciated the time we spent here.
Yeah, thank you.
If you really enjoyed this episode of the Engineering Future Podcast, you're going to love the content we have over our website at luisfelipeduque.com. You can find the link in the description of this episode, as well as the show notes at luisfelipeduque.com/podcast. Every episode comes packed with a lot of links, a lot of information. So you can find all the show notes and all the information related to this episode over at luisfelipeduque.com/podcast. Thank you so much for coming back to this episode. Thank you, Jack Windows, for the music. And as always, let's continue engineering our future.